Let's take our Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this evening. This evening we'll be kind of looking at a number of different scriptures, and so we won't be in 1 Corinthians 6 for very long at the beginning, and then we will get back to it a little bit later on in the message, and some other verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in a couple spots. But this evening I want to talk about our choices that we make in life. Usually we talk about choices being right or wrong, and there are choices that are either right or wrong, but there are also choices that we need to make that are for the best as opposed to less than the best. So it's not necessarily a case of right or wrong, but we make decisions in life that will impact the good of our spiritual health and the good of our well-being in every different way. We make choices all the time, and we often don't give them much thought. Sometimes we get up in the morning and just throw on whatever clothes happen to be handy and get going. We don't even think, what am I going to wear today? They're just there, and you just put them on, and maybe that's more us guys are guilty of that than the ladies. But, we make decisions all the time. We make decisions about what to eat. We make decisions about where to go, what to spend our spare time doing if we have such a thing. Sometimes it seems elusive, but we make decisions about these things, and there are some times that we agonize over decisions, not always the big ones, sometimes it's the small ones. My wife's aunt, we used to go out often for supper on Sunday night after church when we were over in Kitchener, and a few of us used to go out, so we used to go out for supper and after church, and she would always say, "I want to be the last to order because I don't know what to have." And she'd just kind of get settled on something, and she'd hear somebody order something. "Oh, maybe I want that." And then somebody, the next person, orders something different. "Oh, maybe I want that." And, sometimes our decisions are hard. What do we want to eat? What color of shoes go best with this outfit? Again, that's probably more something that the ladies are concerned with than us. But, in many cases, the choices are not bad choices or good choices. They're just, they can be better or best choice. There are things in life where the choices that we make need to be weighed carefully. And there comes a time for many of us, I think, in life where we begin to realize that choices of what we eat and whether we exercise or not are starting to impact our health. And we start thinking, I got to weigh whether that greasy junk food is worth the price that I'm going to pay when I go see the doctor next or in my health. I've got to decide whether just sitting on the couch then doing nothing is worth the cost compared to going for a walk or going to the gym or getting on the treadmill or getting on the exercise bike or whatever. And sometimes we begin to realize those lifestyle choices that we have been making were probably not the best ones, and we have to start making some better ones because we're getting older and the evidence of the poor choices we made in that area are becoming more evident in our life. Maybe on the scales or whatever the case might be, or on the blood pressure readings at the doctor's office and so on. So we start thinking about those things. The sad thing is, though, that often doesn't translate into the Christian life. And sadly, we can see in our life physically that there are lifestyle choices that we need to change, but we miss seeing the decisions that we have been making perhaps incorrectly. Again, not necessarily bad versus good, but good versus better in the Christian life. It was kind of brought to my attention a few weeks ago, when an evangelist was speaking, and he had been in his late teens, I guess, in a rock band and played rock music, and he's been a Christian for many years, but he got saved around that time, and now he sings and preaches and plays instruments and all kinds of things. But he said something that kind of surprised me. He said, sometimes that music still appeals to me. After all these years, probably 50 years, I'm guessing, just by, I don't know how old he was, but kind of roughly. But he said, I make a choice to choose not to listen to it. Sometimes we forget that. We forget the need to make wise choices in the Christian life. Many decisions are made with little or no thought on the impact it will have on our soul or the souls of other people. Christians are often guilty of doing, much like the world, what we want without thinking about it. too much, without thinking about the ramifications of it. After all, are we not free in Christ? Have we not been forgiven? Are we not able to just make our decisions and just do what we want to do? Well, that brings us to here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul wades into that topic and discusses that topic in verse 23. Doesn't go with the 23. 12. Chapter 10 is verse 23. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 6, he says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." That first phrase, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient," is repeated in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. The very same thing. All things are lawful. In other words, Paul's saying, I could go ahead and do whatever I want, but that wouldn't be for the best of my life. Christians, as we said, often we are guilty of doing things because, well, I just want to do it. Or on the other side of the coin, perhaps we're guilty of doing things, well, because I have to. And then what is that? That's the, oh, woe is me, I can't do what I want, I got to do what I have to do. Right? The preacher said so, or I read somewhere that that's what I'm supposed to do, so I guess I have to do it. But Paul speaks here about making a choice based on not what he has to do, but what he feels is the best to do. All things are lawful. I could do what I want, but that wouldn't be beneficial to me. That wouldn't be expedient for me. The word for expedient means to be better for, to bring together, or to be profitable. If we recognize that exercise is profitable for us physically, then 1 Timothy 4 says, "Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." If we recognize the need of physical health, and usually we do, and it's a big subject in our society, then we should recognize as Christians we need to be concerned about our spiritual well-being, and we need to make decisions just as we say, I'm not going to eat that junk food because I don't feel that it would be the best interest of my body. Then we, as Christians, we need to say, I'm going to make some decisions about what I do. Maybe I could do that, but I don't think it would be wise for me to do that. I've entitled the message tonight, What's Best? The basis for our choices. And just briefly tonight, Lord willing, we'll get to 10 passages of Scripture that deal with things that are expedient. So we won't tarry long at each one, but I encourage you, if you have a pen and paper, write down the references and take them to ponder this week and think about what is expedient for us. What's best, the basis for our choices. Let's pray together as we begin the message. Lord, again, we are thankful that we can be here. We thank you that we have made a choice to be here because I believe it is expedient for us that we are here in your house, fellowshipping with the saints, singing the hymns of worship and praise to you, and to hear from you and to hear from your word. And so I pray you'd help us to realize that in our life there are things that we need to choose to do which would be profitable or expedient for our souls and for those around about us. Help us not to be people who are guilty of just doing whatever we feel like just because we want to, but help us not to be guilty of just that drudgery attitude of, I guess I have to do it. But Lord, help us to realize that it's wise to make good choices that will be profitable for us in the long term, and many times in the short term, of course, as well. So speak to our hearts through this message, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, it's a bit of a Bible study, and so let's turn back to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. John, chapter 11, is a passage of Scripture where it's actually speaking about Caiaphas, the high priest, in the time of Jesus, and some statements that he made that bring us to realize, of course, and we say we know this one, this is very elementary, it is expedient to be saved. It's expedient to know Christ as our Savior. It says in verse 49 of John 11, "And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all. Now consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that he also should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. We say it's pretty elementary. We may question and say, I can't believe that Caiaphas said that. Of course, he said it in a self-serving way. He said, if we can get rid of Jesus, that's what he was saying, let's get rid of Jesus off the scene, which is what he wanted to do. He didn't realize that God was using him to prophesy of Jesus dying for the salvation of the souls of man, because he didn't believe in Christ. But we realize that it is expedient that Christ died. What he said was true, and John records it as being prophetic of Jesus' death. It is expedient that Christ died because he provided salvation. It is expedient that we would be saved because that means we don't have to perish. We know that we are sinners. We know that we need to be forgiven. We know that the wages of sin is death. We know that a person cannot earn their salvation. So therefore we say it is expedient that we believe in Christ and his sacrifice for us so that we perish not. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Of course, we realize from this as well, it's expedient that we give out the gospel so that others can be saved. We can be saved because Jesus died. It's expedient that we be saved so that we perish not, and also it's expedient that we be saved because it brings us together with God. The people of God are described many times in the Bible as sheep of his pasture, and he is the good shepherd who watches over his sheep. And did you notice what it says here, that not for that nation only, not for Israel only, Jesus didn't die for the Jews only, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, the Bible tells us, but that he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. In Christ, we are brought together into the fold of God, and whether we be Jew or Greek, there is no difference. Bond or free, male or female, no difference. In Christ, we are saved, we are brought together into his fold. It's expedient to be saved that we perish not and that we are brought together as believers and brought into the fold of God. And the Bible says that Jesus broke down the middle wall of partition among us. I said we'll be speeding through, so let's go back to Matthew chapter 5 and see the second one this evening. Matthew chapter 5, it is expedient to have self-control. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, Jesus says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body shall be cast into hell." The word profitable is the same thought as expedient here. It's expedient that we exercise self-control. Jesus said that lust is a serious thing, and you need to control your lust. Control where your eyes look. Don't take that second look, whether it be in person or on the computer screen or the TV screen or the magazine or wherever it might be. Jesus said, don't take that second look. Don't lust in your heart. And he said it so much so that if you have such a great problem with it, you would actually be better to pluck out your eye than have your eye lead you astray and so on. And obviously he's not advocating that we blind people or blind ourselves or cut off our limbs, but he's saying we need to have self-control. We need to have control over where we look and where we go and what we do, because our flesh can destroy us. That's what he's saying. We live in a day where people live by their feelings and do as they please. Have you ever heard this? You deserve to do what you want. That's our day, isn't it? Situation ethics came in a long time ago, but situation ethics is just as much today. Hey, if you have the opportunity and you're there, hey, go for it. Do what you want. Live as you please. You have your rights. You can do as you please. You're an adult. People don't want to control their fleshly lusts. But for the Christian, it is expedient that we do so. It's expedient that we control our flesh and its desires. Your flesh will get you into all kinds of trouble if you let it rule your life. Jesus said it's more profitable to be without those members than to let those members take you astray. In other words, control them. Jesus said that if one would follow him, he need to take up his cross and follow him, but to deny himself. Isn't that what we're doing when we say, I'm not going to let my flesh control me, I'm going to deny self and do what is right, do what is expedient in my life. Paul said that as an athlete trains and he keeps his body in subjection to win the prize, so he said, I keep under myself and bring myself into subjection. In Romans chapter 7, he said that's a hard task, and Jesus is the one who can give us the victory. So it's not an easy thing, but it's a necessary thing. It is expedient that we control the flesh, that we have self-control. Turn with me back to the Gospel of John again, John chapter 16. John chapter 16, your yellow pages used to say, let your fingers do the walking. Well, let your fingers do the walking through the pages of God's Word tonight. And let's look at some more things that are expedient for us to do. Again, we can expand on them as you take some time to think about what we've said tonight, as you take your time to do that at home. It's expedient that we be saved. It's expedient that we have self-control. It's also expedient that we let the Lord have His way in our life, or that we give God control. Jesus said in John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. The disciples didn't want Jesus to leave. They wanted him to stay. They've become very familiar with living day in and day out with the Savior, and they didn't want him to go. They were troubled about it in chapter 14. And here Jesus said, listen, it's best for you, it's profitable for you if I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye shall see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus is speaking about the importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What's that speaking about? Control. Jesus said it was expedient that we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. He said, I need to go so that I can send the Holy Spirit to be with you day in and day out. It testifies to the importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, Jesus said he convicts. We need that conviction. We need to be convicted when we go astray. It's expedient that we allow God that opportunity to convict us, that we soften our hearts to him. The Bible tells us that he is the Comforter. Jesus refers to him here as the Comforter. Let Lord control you, because he can comfort you like nobody else. He not only does that, but he teaches us the way we need to go. Jesus said there were things that the disciples didn't understand, but the Holy Spirit would teach them. He would remind them of things that Jesus said, and he would teach the disciples. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth. He opens our eyes to the Scriptures. It is expedient that we give him his way in our life. See, the Holy Spirit's ministry is so important. It is expedient that we give him the opportunity to do his ministry. Turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19. It's expedient that we be saved. It's expedient that we have self-control. It's expedient that we let the Lord have his way in our life. And it's expedient that we burn some bridges. Acts chapter 19 is the story of some who got saved in Ephesus, and their lives were changed. Verse 18 It says, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. These people got saved from magic, from all these occultish things. They got saved from it. And the Bible tells us that when they got saved, they realized those books that we used to have and we used to use, they're not good to have around. We need to get rid of them. They burned them. They recognized the things that had caused them to sin in the past, they didn't need anymore. And they wouldn't want them around because they didn't want to be tempted to go back to that way of life. The value of these books was very large, wasn't it? 50,000 pieces of silver. I don't know what that is, what that would be in our day today, but 50,000 pieces of anything is quite a lot, isn't it? There was a great value to it, but they didn't even sell it. They said, no, we want to get rid of it. We don't want anyone else to be influenced by it either. It needs to go. And what happened as a result of that? It says, mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. God had opportunity to work through them, in them, and through them to do great things in their lives. You know, as Christians, there are some things that need to go that may be from our past life, maybe from a time where we weren't walking with the Lord like we should, maybe from a time before we knew Christ as our Savior. There's some things that need to go. We need to get rid of them. Maybe some old CDs or LPs or cassette tapes or DVDs or whatever the case might be, some old magazines or some old books or some old bottles of whatever. See, these people recognized they didn't want to have those things around anymore because they didn't want to be tempted to go back to where they were before. They said, this needs to go. We don't want anyone else to stumble over this, so we are going to burn these books. That must have been some bonfire. Not only a bonfire, maybe a great amount of flames, but a great testimony. Their lives were changed and they recognized that they didn't want to go back. Don't keep things around that will tempt you to go back to the way you used to live. You know, if a person got married and said, well, I'm just going to keep my little black book, quote unquote, you say, that's ridiculous. You have a partner that you've committed to. Why would you keep that? Get rid of it. If a person who is an alcoholic said, I've quit drinking, I'm no longer drinking, but I'm just going to keep a bottle of beer in my fridge just in case I feel thirsty one day. You see, that's ridiculous. One sip of that and they'd be back right back to the bottle. Get rid of it. So why do we think as Christians that we can keep things in our life and keep things in our homes and keep things around? It's got some value. What if I want to listen to it again? What if I want to watch it again? What do you mean? What if you want to get drawn back into sin again? The word expedient is not used here in these verses, but we see that the word that is translated expedient is when it says that they brought their books together. It was profitable for them to get rid of those things. It was profitable to burn some bridges. And it's expedient that you and I recognize some things that may draw us back, that we burn the bridges, get rid of them from our life. The next one's close by. So Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. It's expedient that we burn some bridges. It's also expedient that we study the Bible through and through, as we might say. It says in Acts 20, and from Miletus he sent to the Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable for you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I didn't keep back anything that was profitable for you. I've taught you all things. the word profitable, expedient. Paul said it was profitable for you to learn all kinds of different doctrine that you needed to play out in your life and live out in your life. We all have our favorite Bible verses, and I think it's great. You should have some favorite Bible verses, some go-to verses that are there when you feel like discouraged, or you feel like nobody cares, or you feel like you're afraid. You should have some verses that you can go to and say, boy, they help. But you know, we need to launch out as well from those things and realize that we need to study the Word of God from Genesis right through to Revelation. We need to know what the Bible is all about. We live in a day of consumer Christianity, where people pick and choose what they want. We said it before, they can listen online or they can listen on the TV or the radio, and if they don't like what that guy is saying, they just turn it off and go to the next person. Or if they don't like what that church is preaching, well, sometimes they go there on Sunday morning, but you know, if it looks like there's an interesting sermon on this place, I just go over there. And what do we do? Just feeding our interest, our curiosity. We said it before, we need to get to the place where we take the meat and potatoes with the dessert, and the vitamins with the candy, so to speak, of the Scripture. We need to get into the Word of God. It may well be the curse of the online church today and the availability of online sermons, and we put ours online. It's good. It makes it available for people. We have, fortunately, just recently been able to get some of our sermons on the radio. I think it's a good thing. But I'm saying that when people just rely on those things, they just pick and choose buffet Christianity, and it's not good. It's expedient that you learn or are taught the whole counsel of God, not just your favorite parts. It's expedient. It's better. You say, but I enjoy this topic. I enjoy preaching on this and not so much on that. Well, if that's in the Bible and this is in the Bible, you need to dig into all of it. It's expedient that we dig into all the Scriptures. It's expedient. Back in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we read that all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. It's expedient not to let things control you. Nothing aside from the Lord ought to control your life. We live in a day of addictions. All over the place. All kinds of different addictions today. Addictions that we never even thought of or heard of just a few short years ago. People are controlled by everything from drugs and alcohol to pornography to video games to you name it. People are saying, I'm addicted to this. I can't stay away from that. You know, I think it's a good thing to ask ourselves as Christians, what is it that I feel I can't do without? And then analyze what that is and say, should that be something that I feel I really need? Because I think there's a lot of things in our life that we depend on that we shouldn't be depending on, that we're addicted to. It may not be something that is wrong, like some of the things we mentioned, like drugs or alcohol or pornography. It may not be a right and wrong issue, because remember I said at the beginning, we're not talking necessarily about right and wrong, we're talking about what is best. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:15 that there were some in the church of Corinth that had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Well, there's a good addiction to have, isn't it? Addicted to serving the Lord. It is expedient that we look at our life and see what is controlling us and not allow something outside of the Lord to control us. I love a cup of coffee. I enjoy coffee. But I would never say I need a cup of coffee. I don't need it. I sometimes go days without it. I like it that way. And I don't say that to brag about myself. I just like to think I don't want to need something other than the Lord. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, I will not be brought under the power of any. It's expedient that we choose things that edify. Similar thought, it goes a step further. In 1 Corinthians 10, he says in verse 23, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. To edify means to build up. Paul said, I recognize that not everything is helpful to me in my Christian life. It may not be right, wrong, but if it doesn't edify me, then I have to take into consideration, is it something worth spending a lot of time doing? How much time, talent, or treasure do we spend on doing things that help us in our Christian life? That's something to think about, isn't it? Because we say, well, time in church, obviously that's time invested that will help. That edifies. Reading our Bible, praying, that's time that edifies. Spending time with fellow believers outside of church and just visiting in home, going out for a coffee, those things are things that can edify. Music can edify, the right kind of music. There's a lot of things that can edify or build us up. But Paul said, I have learned that I need to choose which is the better thing to spend my life doing. What's going to build me up in my Christian life? You know, there's a lot of things that tear down our faith in this world that we live in. Our flesh fights against our spirit. But there's a lot of things in this life that tear us down. We need to invest some time in things that will edify us, build us up. Entertainment can be a good thing. We all need some downtime, some relaxing time. But we need to guard our entertainment. How much time are we spending on things that don't edify and perhaps sometimes even are guilty of bringing us down? I'm just saying that we need to make these conscious decisions. As I said, that gentleman that kind of got this thought process going in my mind and brought these scriptures to my mind said, I could still listen to that music. It still appeals to my flesh, but I choose not to because I realize that that wouldn't be best for my life. So we need to think and reflect on what are we spending our time doing? Is it things that edify? We need to spend some time on things that will edify. It's expedient to give God the glory, of course, as well. And that's at the end of the same chapter, verses 31 to 33. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give not offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. The word profit here is the same thought as expedient, profitable, beneficial. We are often guilty of living for ourselves. And again, I know, I just said, and I agree, there are times we need to do things for ourselves. We need to look after ourselves. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 5? No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We need to look after ourselves. We don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of other people around about us, and we will be nothing. We can wear ourselves out. But Paul said that he had the objective in his life of bringing glory to God through his actions. Whether therefore you eat, drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Jesus said that men should see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Paul went on to further say that he didn't do things to please himself, but to please others. We often do things to glorify ourselves, but it's much more profitable to glorify God and others, to lift them up and encourage them. Say, why is it expedient for me to give glory to God and for me to help others and lift up others? Well, the Bible says in Matthew 25:41 that in those who were rewarded for looking after the poor and the blind and the wretched and the naked, they did it for the Lord. It was done as for the Lord. When we stand before the Lord, those we have led to Christ and those who we have encouraged in their faith will be a crown of rejoicing. That's profitable. That's beneficial to us to bring honor to the Lord and to lift up others and to seek the profit of other people rather than ourselves. The things we strive so much for in this life will amount to nothing, but time invested in people's lives and in the service of God will pay eternal dividends. We often think of, I just want to make a name for myself, or I want to be the best at this, and that's okay. It's good to have goals and strive for things, but let's keep it in perspective. Make the Lord. It's expedient that we do things with eternal value, to live to the glory of God and the edification of others. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Just a couple more tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's expedient to be saved. We would all agree with that. We'd have no problem understanding that. It's expedient to have self-control. It's expedient to let the Lord have His control in our life. It's expedient to burn some bridges of things in our past that we need to get rid of. It's expedient that we study the entire Word of God. It's expedient that we not let things control us. It's expedient to choose things that will edify and things that will glorify God. But it's also expedient that we give. I know reached my wallet. I go into a jewelry store, like, oh no, where's my wallet? Keep my head down. I'm not looking these people. Right? Sometimes you feel like, oh no, they're expecting me to buy something. Fortunately, I have a good friend who's a jeweler, and I can go in his store without feeling that way. But, you know, it's expedient that we give. It's expedient that we give with the right attitude. We know that the tithe belongs to the Lord. The Bible's clear about that in the Old Testament and New Testament alike. We're talking about giving here cheerfully, giving from our hearts, giving to the work of the Lord, giving to the Lord Himself. 2 Corinthians 8:7, therefore as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. I mean not that other men may be eased in ye burden, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. It's expedient to give. He used Christ's sacrifice as an example here, his willingness to give of himself for us. He gave up his riches that we may be made rich. He said that giving was to be done willingly based on what we have and not we have not. I'm sure many of us are saying, man, if I had some money, I would give to that cause. If I had some money, I would give to that. God doesn't care about what you would do if you had. He says, what are you doing with what you've got? It's accepted according to what you have. It's expedient, though, that we be giving people. I'm sure that naturally we would say it's expedient to be on the receiving end. Right? That's profitable. I get something. But how can it be expedient to give something? Well, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples and you have love one for another. What is it to give to help somebody else is showing a love for them? In 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 to 19, the Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be willing to communicate, that they're ready to give of what they have. See, money given is laid up in heaven, and it keeps the heart in the right place. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, because there's no thieves there, there's no rust there, there's no corruption there. And then he said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's expedient that we give, because you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And it's expedient that we give because it keeps our heart in the right place. If we give to the Lord, that shows our heart is in the right place. Where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. When I was about 17, I was in Bible college and I had a little car. And I had an accident and just slid off the road. It was nothing serious, well, except for it was for my car. But a lady from the church gave me little bit of money, and she gave me a 3x5 card with it. And it said this: do your giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. She said that, you know, it may just buy a headlight or something, but I just wanted to. And she wants to be a blessing to me, and so she gave. But it's a blessing to be able to give. And it's expedient that we do give for the reasons that we've already mentioned. One last one in Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll close with this tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, it may be the most difficult to understand how it could possibly be, but it is expedient to be disciplined. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says in verse 5, and you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and have given them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. What are we seeing here? We're seeing that it's expedient that we be chastened. See, I don't like being chastened. I remember being chastened as a child. I don't remember ever a time I liked it. The Hot Wheels track, the dog leash, I mean, they were good chastening rods, I guess, back in the day. I didn't like it. But why did my parents do it? Because they loved me enough to say, you can't get away with that kind of behavior. And they chastened me. And as we're chastened as believers, it's expedient, it's profitable for us. It reminds us who we belong to and that he loves us and that he has a plan for us. And it stops us from heading down that wrong path and gets us back on the right path. Isn't that what he says here? He says that we should be in subjection unto the Father spirits and live. In other words, heed that correction and say, yes, Lord, you're right. I need to get back on track. I need to do what I ought to do. Chastening shapes our lives, allowing us to become more Christ-like. The discipline becomes more profitable as we respond to it and allow it to shape our lives. We're told that it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. At the time, there's no peaceableness in discipline, is there? But afterwards, it yields that. It's the benefit. To be disciplined is reason to rejoice and cease from discouragement. And so it's expedient that we are disciplined and respond to that discipline. What should determine the choices that we make in our life? What is best? What is expedient for us? Paul said, there's a lot of things I can do, but a lot of those things won't do me any good. I want to make choices that will be the best for my life. Why do you make the choices that you do? What's best ought to be the basis for our choices. It's not always that way, but by God's grace we can determine it to be so, as the Apostle Paul. It's expedient for us. Let's pray.